SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back a little past the top of the hour, hour three at the races. Fun half hour with Tony and before that, Andy Serling, and worked out perfectly. We are able to get Neil back in here. He was cut off mid-sentence. So Neil Kleinberg joins us back again, and we'll finish our Thanksgiving conversation. And we took your questions, and there's been follow-up. It's an interactive conversation, Neil. The more we talk, the more people responded with some more thoughts. And you know, one of the things that came up while we were gone from you was the sweet potato issue. And did I talk to you last year about the sweet potato pie success?
Yes, you did. You know, one of the questions that you had from one of the listeners was, you know, different fillings for different pies. You know, sweet potato can be used as a substitute for pumpkin as well. And I know in the South it's a big thing. The sweet potato pie is big down there. So, yeah, I'm all for that. What do you think?
Well, I wasn't sure when I made it if it was going to be a side dish or whether it was a dessert. And
right.
Casey said, well, in fact, that
it could be
he
both.
Likes it as both, but he likes it as a later kind of thing.
Right.
You know, the one that you came up with last year, and in fact, Joe McKay reminded that you talked about the sweet potatoes roasted with your maple butter, and I'm going to put that up for everybody. That the maple butter easy, and you, I'm going to do that from your suggestion from last year.
Well, you know, that's my go-to as far as sweet potatoes goes, and that's another thing that's really quick and easy to prepare, and you could actually even, you know, you could dice up your sweet potato or chunk them up, put them in a casserole with the maple butter on top and throw it in the fridge the day before. It'll still absorb all of those great flavors and then just pop it in the oven the day of. So it's another thing you could do in advance, save yourself some time. Anything that's going to bake in the oven that's going to absorb flavor from any of your sauces or garnishes or aromatics is perfect. To answer another question of stuff that you can do in advance is the stuffing. If you make a stuffing in a roasting pan or in a casserole and you make it the day before and put it in the fridge uncovered, it will gain a really good crust so that when it gets to the oven, it'll already get a head start of gaining a crust. So you like, you know, your stuffing, the top to be crusty and the bottom to be moist. All of those things can help you so that the day of you're not all stressed out about doing things a la minute.
A couple of things, and I've got the cookbook in the fabulous Clinton Street Baking Company cookbook. One of the things that caught my eye was drinks, and we have a small group this year, so I'm not going to do a punch, but I had found an intriguing cranberry vodka punch that caught my eye with the pomegranate, cranberry pomegranate vodka, etc., and prosecco. And what's your alcoholic beverage options? And talk about the drinking side of things, and what can be done that's festive and appropriate.
Well, I'm not a big drinker, and I enjoy, you know, a glass of a really nice wine, and I enjoy cold beers. I talked last year about having a nice cold beer and to loosen myself up, so I'm not all like, you know, wired. or nerve get your nerves all rattled. You know, the things that go well with turkey are you know, a great Pinot Noir or a really nice crisp a white wine. But we have a catering client that that we do a punch for every year, and it doesn't have to have a lot of alcohol in it. What's really nice in a punch is if you'd use a Prosecco or, you know, a moderately priced champagne that gives a little effervescence and a little bubbly to some cranberry juice, orange juice, fresh squeezed lime juice, whole cranberries. And if you put something like a Prosecco or a nice dry champagne, that's always a really nice, refreshing way without a lot of vodka or rum or alcohol-laden stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure.
So that's, and, you know, you can also do a non-alcoholic punch that's really nice. You know, fresh-squeezed grapefruit, fresh-squeezed tangerine juice, things like that with cranberry are all, you know, they kind of open up the appetite. And as far as the punch goes, you could season it with any kind of great things like cinnamon sticks or star anise or a few cloves, anything that will, like, you know, make the area and the atmosphere smell better as well. And it also gives a really nice kind of aromatic. You know, you don't have to be afraid of you don't have to adhere to a recipe, you know, so exact. What's great about cooking for Thanksgiving and about cooking in general is that you can adapt things to your taste. You can experiment. You can play around. And as long as the things kind of make sense classically, there are many innovations that you can, you know, play around with.
One more area to buffet desserts. Go to the front end, and any revelations since we talked last about starters? And I do the deviled eggs, which have become a tradition for my dad, and now everybody loves them. So I do that. But and you know, generally you don't want people filling up before dinner, but there are places where, you know, people arrive early. It's a funny meal when it comes to timing too. You know, some people
right.
Eat early, you know, mid-afternoon, 2 to 3, others 4 to 6. So, you know, you don't know from that standpoint, and there might be people hanging around watching football all afternoon, etc., you know, doing things outside the house if the weather's good. I remember years ago when weather would be good. Those days are forgotten, but talk about starters and what, you know, what should be out there for to get people going before dinner.
Well, you know, I always like to open up the appetite by doing things that are actually either refreshing or not. You know, you have a main meal of Thanksgiving, which is a lot of starch and some protein with the turkey and a lot of savory. If you can start with something like some raw vegetables or some great crudité with a little, like, buttermilk or ranch dressing, something to get people's appetites, you know, not filled up. Great vegetables, something crispy, something crunchy. You know, stay away from kind of like the bread or, you know, too many crackers. I mean, cheeses are wonderful, but they can also be a little heavy. I like to do seafood, a great shrimp cocktail, a great crab cocktail. If you want to splurge and do a cold poached lobster with, you know, in chunks with a cocktail sauce or a mustard sauce. Those kind of things I find are light yet luxurious. And they complement the main meal really well by not overfilling you.
I like that, and I've got I haven't done it in a while, but I've got a shrimp like a shrimp Louis kind of
Exactly, something cold. I would say, you know, something
yep.
refreshing. something that you don't have to heat up, you don't have to work for. You kind of you make it, put it on a platter, put the dip in there, and let people go to town. And, you know, so that when you go to eat the main meal, you don't have to feel all full and like, oh, my God, how am I going to do this?
No, absolutely. And, again, an easy make ahead, no doubt. Now, Neil, I didn't want us to wrap up with that abrupt ending, so I wanted to get you back some final Thanksgiving thoughts to tie everything together.
Well, I want to thank you, Steve, for having me on and for being such a good friend and being such a great supporter of ours at Clinton Street. And I just want to, I'm very thankful for all of my friends and family and food on the table, and just shout out to all my buddies and all peeps that are listening, and have a great, safe, wonderful, amazing Thanksgiving. And I'm here to talk to you about food, horses, vacation, anything you want.
The great Neil Kleinberg, everybody. Clinton Street Baking Company. And remind everybody of all the locations worldwide.
Well, one exciting thing is in March, we're opening our second location in New York, in Brooklyn, in the Time Out Market. That's really exciting. It's a new project we're working on. And it's in the Dumbo area, in between the Brooklyn and the Manhattan Bridge. And it's going to be a wonderful open market with 20 top New York restaurants with all different concepts. And our concept, of course, is going to be all-day breakfast, where we do our famous pancakes and our biscuits and our egg dishes. And it's something that we're really excited about because we never really wanted to open anywhere outside of New York, but this opportunity came in Brooklyn, and we're really in love with Brooklyn, and we decided to go for it. Besides that, we're in Tokyo, we're in Nagoya, we have two locations in Dubai, one in Singapore and one in Thailand, and I think that's enough for now.
Well, and, Neil, the appreciative reports coming in everywhere. Our friend Chad Schexnader from New Orleans just sent,
he sent
Thanksgiving greetings to you and your son, and how much
Thank
fun you.
You
guys had down at Fairgrounds last year. That's a big deal there. Thanksgiving at Fairgrounds is huge Thursday.
Huge,
that's one of
huge.
Big deal.
I'd love to do Thanksgiving down there as well.
Now they got a great buffet and big big Thanksgiving dinner at NOLA.
Can't beat the food in New Orleans.
That's for sure. And so he sends his regards. And you know, you made me think of one thing when you said biscuits. Give everybody the takeaway on the biscuits versus whatever other kinds of bread and rolls. What's your favorite when it comes to this?
Well, you know, our biscuits, we do the mini, and the minis are pretty amazing, just with a little butter or, you know, gravy or mashed potatoes or whatever else you want to put on them. Amazing little morsels. I also love our jalapeno cornbread for people, you know, that love the corn taste. Our cornbread recipe is in the book, and we add a diced jalapeno to spice it up a little bit. Of course, I love a good old Jewish rye for afterwards when you make a corn turkey Russian dressing coleslaw sandwich.
Now you're talking, yeah.
I know you do a good, you do a nice bread, a couple of your quick breads. Those are also nice. But I think biscuits and cornbread are what Thanksgiving is all about.
I agree. Well, we're getting some of your biscuits, and I'm doing the cornbread. I do have the zucchini bread that I don't know
Sounds
how that
awesome.
Became. Yeah, that became a tradition somewhere along the line as
Good.
Well.
I love it.
Neil, it's fantastic. I can't thank you enough, as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Dee Dee and the kids and everybody that's going to be at the table.
Give my love to Tina and Spencer and all the gang over there as well.
Absolutely. Neil Kleinberg, everybody. Clinton Street Baking Company coming soon to Brooklyn as well. And that was news. I didn't realize. I didn't know that. And for those that get a chance to go to Lower Manhattan, head down to Lower East Side and corner of Clinton and Houston Street, couple of blocks down from Katz's, the other famous joint on Houston. There's a few, actually. There's Jonah Schimmel, and there's Russ and Daughter, Clinton Street, and Katz's. That's a superfecta, big time. Let's take a break. Got to get John White in here. John got bumped yesterday by Bob Baffert, which I'm sure he didn't mind listening to Baffert talk about the development of the young horses and what is ahead for Mucho Gusto and Coliseum. And, you know, the one that I didn't get to, the New York bred. That was the one I wanted to get an update. On him. Oh my gosh, and I'm going to, now his name is going to, I'm going to draw a blank on his name. It's the blank to the blank blank. It's like a, it's a four, right? It's a four word name. I'll think of it. Back after this, though, John White joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When I said it out loud, it wasn't as strong as it was in my head. I tried not to think about it, so it came back louder. I think it's been about a year since I became a snob. Decided not to play along, so it grew bigger. Complex. And here I am, by myself.
back in the races. Sophie Tucker. Love it. Back now, John White. And John, of course, I'd expected to get to yesterday. I thought Monday was going to be a very sedate and you know, just nice, orderly morning. And then, boy, Bob Baffert was kind of a runoff a little bit yesterday. And don't mind that, John. And I'm sure you were listening in and taking in Baffert's discussion of the development of Coliseum and where he stands with all these young horses. Let me say good morning and happy Thanksgiving to you and Tracy.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Tina and to all the listeners, and happy birthday to you as well.
Thank you.
You're right. I had your show on in the background, but I really couldn't listen to it live yesterday because we were doing our annual fantasy draft because our league kicks off on Thursday and runs through the Breeders' Cup. But I went back for what's great about your show are the archives, and I utilize that tool extensively. And in fact, I'm going to go back and listen to the Baffert interview again because there's so much in there. It was quite informative for sure. The horse you were talking about was Tail of the Union.
There you go. Thank you.
And he was one of the seven included in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool that opens on Thursday. There were seven Baffert runners out of the 22 individual horses for this future wager that kicks off on Thursday. And Darren Rogers is one of those that's in my fantasy league. And in talking to Darren yesterday, he asked me before he released the story on the future wager, he said, Bob, how many horses of the 22 individual horses do you think Bob Baffert trains? And I thought I was guessing high at six, and I couldn't go high enough because it was seven. Baffert's seven were our Game Winner, Improbable, Coliseum, Mucho Gusto, Magic on Tap, Roadster, and Tail of the Union. And Darren did mention that he contacted Baffert and said, is there any reason to take any of those horses off the list? And most notably, that would mean Magic on Tap, Roadster, and Tail of the Union. You know, in other words, we're a guy, because they'll do, Churchill's good about that. They'll try to,
sure.
They don't want to put a horse on that, you know, that where the trainer says, look, you know, I, at this point, I wouldn't put him on there or whatever. And Bob gave the thumbs up for all of them, including Tail of the Union, though Bob said he's at a farm right now. But that's, you know, encouraging that this impressive New York bred, you know, is still in the Derby thoughts of Bob Baffert.
Well, and you know the next name with multiple runners, Hollendorfer with a pair, and I'm glad you brought this up. I'll go over it on Friday with Marty McGee. Marty always tracks the future wager program. There'll be the sire wager, and you know we've got you know layer upon layer of these, and I find them a lot of fun, and you know always take a couple of shots. And you usually get yourself over to Vegas, too, and get a few, you know, few tickets punched. Although I know a lot of people, you know, I haven't brought it back up again, but a lot of people with Johnny Avello leaving Wynn, there's some people that are kind of bereft on the wager front because you may be restricted only to the ones at the books that are listed. But John would... You know, John would always give everybody, if they came in with an obscurity, one that hadn't been listed, John would give you a quote, you know, 125-1 or whatever. We'll track those as we get ready and move into 2019. But two Hollendorfers in there, two Kenny McPeaks. The Hollendorfers are Instagrand and Gunmetal Gray. And Kenny with Signalman and Cairo Cat. And, of course, Signalman expected on Saturday in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I'm trying to notice if there's others, John, that are going to participate. I think Dunf from Mike Maker is expected as well on Saturday in the Jockey Club.
That's right. And but, boy, you mentioned something that I think is a big void for many of us here in within striking range of Vegas, that the exit of John Avello from the Wynn, And the win said, unless they change their mind, they're not going to even have a Kentucky Derby future book for 2019. And, you know, you'll have William Hill, all the William Hill places over there in Vegas and so forth. But still, you mentioned Avello, how game he was. Nick Cassato was able to get Justified before his first race. At John Avello gave him 300-1, and Cassato bet $500, so that's only $150,000. And shortly thereafter, I was able to get in at 100-1 for $100 on Justify in February. And that was the gameness of Avello, too, because typically you're going to see these guys, if some guy comes in, especially someone as well-known as Nick Cassato, a longtime jockey agent, longtime owner and so forth in this game, very sharp guy, and he's wanting to bet on a horse of Baffert's that hasn't even run yet. Most of these guys would say, okay, I'll give you the 300-1, and they wouldn't take $500. They might give him maybe 100 or something like that, and then they'd cut it to like 20-1. That was something happened along these lines with Coliseum in the future book lists that I've seen before his first race over the weekend, because he was like co-second favorite and right up there behind Game Winner in these, without even having run. He was like at 20-1, which Bill Finley covered this in the Thoroughbred Daily News. In fact, Finley called me, and he says, do you know this horse or whatever? And I'd heard the name and everything, but he says, well, who trained? He has a race. Who trains him? And I said, well, I got to make it like about 1-5 that if we're talking the Kentucky Derby and the horse has a run, it's Baffert. And he says, well, it's a Godolphin horse. Has he trained any horses for Godolphin? And I said, yeah, he's been starting to get horses for Godolphin. So, and indeed, then Coliseum made the very sensational debut over the weekend. I mean, what a performance. His gallop out to me, I mean, he was like 20 in front on the gallop out. I mean, that was just tremendous. And in fact, Baffert, to show his strength in the draft we held yesterday, there's 72 horses we draft. There are 9 teams, and each team drafts 8 horses. We can make claims, a couple of claims a month throughout the course of the season. But Baffert had 3 of the top 5 taken in the draft. Game Winner went first to Brad Free, and then Improbable was 4th, and Coliseum 5th. And so, I mean, he had 3 of the top 5. But not only that, Baffert had 11 of the 72 that were drafted. He also had Nero, Magic on Tap, Mucho Gusto, Chasing Yesterday, Marley's Freedom, McKenzie, Roadster, and Dreamtree drafted. But as strong as that is with 11, Chad Brown had 12 horses drafted. So Brown had more horses drafted, but interesting to kind of see the difference in the strength. All of Baffert's horses were drafted from 1 to 38, whereas Chad Brown's horses, only 3 of them were drafted from 1 to 38. So, the little more quality, it would appear, in terms of just how people view those two stables in the Baffert barn than the Brown barn. To show you the strength of Bob Baffert and Chad Brown, with 23 of the 72 horses drafted, the next highest number of horses taken in the draft by any trainer was Jerry Hollendorfer with 4. So, and I was really pleased. Michael McCarthy had 3 horses drafted, which tied him with, like, Todd Pletcher had 3, Peter Miller had 3, and Bill Mott had 3. So that's another sign that Michael McCarthy's starting to really build this strong stable here in Southern California, which I'm so pleased, because he's such a class guy, such a good guy, and such a good trainer. And, he really has had a very good 2018, and it looks like this Michael McCarthy barn is really starting to establish itself big time.
Oh, there's no doubt that that's been one of the really interesting stories, frankly, of the whole Breeders' Cup was the handful of fairly young upstart-ish trainers. I mean, you can't call Brad Cox an upstart at this point, obviously, but between McCarthy and one. Trainer that didn't win a Breeders' Cup race, but Ben Colebrook with Limousine Liberal and Nick's Go, they're 2 board hits with his starters. There's a question. Did K. Nix go get drafted?
Nix go went at number 36.
Okay.
You mentioned Brad Cox. He had the horse taken second overall in the draft, which was my pick, which was Monomoy Girl.
I can't blame you for that.
Our first bonus race is the Apple Blossom, and the fact that I was pleased they weren't going to run in the Pegasus. And, so that's our first. That's worth a double grade one in our league. So, you kind of go into these drafts with, kind of a battle plan. And my battle plan this year was, I could take a horse like an improbable. I knew Game Winner was probably going number one. And so I could take Improbable, I could take Coliseum, I could take Jaywalk, even Newspaper Record you could consider, perhaps. But I thought, you know what, there's such depth in that in the horses that are going to be the three-year-olds of next year that I'd probably be able to get a pretty good one maybe in the second round. But
sure.
When you draft number two, you got a long run until your second pick, which is at 17. But I did get Instagrammed at that point, which Brad Free told me that he's supposed to be back like maybe today or yesterday to the Hollendorfer barn. And he's ranked high in that Kentucky Derby Future book on the morning line there. I mean, we don't have no clue how good that colt is. So, that could work out well for me or it might not. But like I say, I thought I could probably get a pretty good Derby prospect at number three. And I'll tell you who I got in the seventh round with the number 56 pick that I'm pretty glad that I got. I feel he kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit in the draft, and that's Uncle Benny.
Good job. He's in the future wager.
Yes, he is. And, I think he's a very intriguing horse heading into next year. I think there's a ton of talent there. He's already shown he can run on the dirt. And, his Breeders' Cup race, you can make a solid case that maybe he should have won that race if he'd had a better trip.
Speaking of some of the more upstart and under the radar potential players on this list, a couple to note, and I mentioned Dunf that's running. There are three horses that are running Saturday, so people are advised that don't do anything until after you've seen the Jockey Club. King for a Day is supposed to run for Pletcher, Signalman for McPeak, and Dunn for Mike Maker. The horses that would run subsequently, we're expecting Code of Honor, who's 20-1, Maximum Mischief 30-1, and potentially Vekoma for George Weaver, although George said last week I didn't necessarily get the sense that George was committed to coming back. He's bringing Vekoma down to Palm Beach Downs, and I didn't get the sense that they were eager for the Remsen. But those are the players that, particularly Maximum Mischief, who came up earlier with Tony Black, because Butchie Reed, has got him at Philly, and Code of Honor, I think a lot of people, obviously. But, there's a couple of horses. How about the presence of Epic Dreamer on here? This is the boys, Darren Rogers and the team that put this list together, they were digging down. Epic Dreamer is very interesting. That's an orb of Kelly Breen's, and won about 2 weeks ago at Belmont. That's a clever inclusion. I like that they found Epic Dreamer.
Yeah, that is very intriguing indeed. And all those other horses you mentioned, they were all taken in our draft. Code of Honor went in the first round, late in the first round. Maximus Mischief went in the second round. Vekoma went in the fourth round, just a couple of picks before Nix go. So, these guys in my league, they're all Sharpies. I'm telling you, they don't leave anything really in the cupboard that, you sit here and think, well, maybe I'll be able to get, and it's just very, very tough. Byron King, who's been on your show numerous times, he's won the last 3 years, so he's going.
Has he really?
Yeah, he's going for the first four-peat in the history of my league, which goes far back in the into the 1980s. So we've had, Brad Free is the only other one to have a three-peat, but so Byron Byron drafted last because he finished first, and but I mean, right out of the gate, he got a couple of good horses. Was Seeking the Soul for the Clark and Restless Rider for the Goldenrod, and certainly is a Kentucky Oaks candidate, which is one of our bonus races in our league. And I mean, King just kept picking up good horses all through the draft. Did very, very well. I mean, for instance, in the seventh round, he got Promises Fulfilled. That's a pretty good horse to get in the seventh round. So, you know, Byron's sharp. He's tough. And
he is sharp. Byron, I'm thinking if it was last year or the year before, every year he does a column around Breeders' Cup time. In DRF, he mentions five under the radar or early Derby prospects, and usually one or two will be, you know, horses that have already got some stakes experience, and then the other three will typically be, you know, horses that may have just broken their maiden, or you know, they might even be a maiden that, you know, that look good in their one or two starts. And I believe it was last year, John, Byron wrote the column, and I had printed it out and saved it. And I've got notebooks that I keep on a variety of topics, and I refer back to them at, you know, different times. And when we got to Derby Week, if I'm not mistaken, four of the five that he wrote about in October made the Derby, and at least two of them, maybe three, were relative obscurities when he wrote them up. And his opinion on that is outstanding. And he's got a track record of tracking that kind of horse. I would sit up and take notice.
That would impress even George from Florida, I think, which is not easy to do. I've got to say that Byron, a big key to him to win it this past year was Monomoy Girl, who he drafted. And but I mean, Byron had good horses all the way. He had a big Breeders' Cup, and he's just, like I say, he's very, very, very tough. But, you know, so's Jay Pridman, who's in the league, and many others. So it's it's challenging, and it keeps you on top of things. I mean, that's for sure. It really helps me try to stay on my toes. But being the commissioner of the league, which I have been since 2000, I mean, it takes a lot of work through handling all the paperwork and putting out the standings and keeping track of the points, because I don't have any automated thing that I got to go through and keep track of all the points for everybody and all the changes to their stables and this and that. And just conducting the draft yesterday, we started at 6 o'clock Pacific time, and it took 9.5 hours, and that's moving along pretty good. You get a half hour once you're on the clock to make your pick. And you know, one of the traditions that's happened in our league, speaking of Byron King, is he's always had one of his children in a school play on draft day, but to show how committed he is to participating in the league, he's always available by text or email to where he can kind of surreptitiously make his selections.
Slip in a pick.
While he's taking care of family business. So that's my kind of guy, you know, that's able to get it done even under those circumstances.
You know, continuing on with some of these prospects and looking at this list of the future wager that came out yesterday, and we'll talk more about it with Marty McGee on Friday, but there's a horse here that people may not be aware of, Preamble, from Rudy Brissett, and he's a 50-1 number. I mentioned the other a big price, Epic Dreamer of Kelly Breen's. Preamble, people may have seen it win at Keeneland, and he's been actually complimented since, because a couple of horses that he beat, including Blue Steel, that came back, and Blue Steel got buried by Preamble in their mutual debuts, and then came back and won his second start. And he's expected in the Jockey Club on Saturday for Dale Romans. But take a look at Preamble. I mean, hasn't gone past six furlongs yet, but by Spitestown and out of Beautician, who, speaking of Kenny McPeak, who was, of course, a multiple graded stake winner, grade one winner, and she'll have to contribute, you know, some route going prowess certainly to this horse. But take a look at Preamble. Go look at his race from I don't remember his maiden the maiden win, but the performance at Keeneland I saw, and his name, that's another pearl dive that the boys found putting this thing together.
Yes, it is. And in fact, it was a week ago I was listening to your show, and you had the guest on of Jack Sisterson, who won that Tempted with Oxy Lady for Calumet Farm. I really enjoyed that interview, especially when now I have another one of my all-time favorites got mentioned in the discussion. That Jack was there with Doug O'Neill through the I'll Have Another run through the Santa Anita Derby victory and the, well, the Robert B. Lewis and the Santa Anita Derby, East Kentucky Derby, and Preakness. But, in fact, that's the only time I've ever won the Derby in my league is I claimed I'll Have Another after the Lewis, and I claimed him on March 1st because you get two claims. I'd already used my claims when the Lewis was run for February, but when we got to March 1st, I'll Have Another was still there, and I claimed him, and I didn't even have to shake for him. So that's one thing that at least worked out for me in this league through the years, along with many of the tough breaks I've had. But that Oxy Lady, I ended up getting in the fourth round, which I felt that was pretty good to be able to because obviously Jaywalk was long gone by then, being taken in the first round. But I thought Oxy Lady was kind of an interesting one heading into next year to have with that addition of Blinkers and her 94 buyer in that race. And, you know, I think there's a lot to, you know, and obviously they're aiming for the Kentucky Oaks. So, listening to your show was good for me in terms of preparing for this draft that took place yesterday.
Well, and I'm not sure if I don't know if I heard from anybody that, you know, speaking of nuggets on the show that came back to pay off. And I mentioned Ben Colebrook just before. I don't know if anybody, do I have it? I think I do have it here. You know, I mentioned, you know, I keep these notes and just so happens that the $80 horse that he had at Churchill the other day, Heels, the Claiborne homebred by Flatter, that was a horse that that Colebrook talked about when he had been on. We were talking 2-year-olds with him, and he talked about Heels, and she. You know, she'd made three starts, and she was completely. Why she was so overlooked in that spot on Thursday, I don't know. But she paid $85, eighty something. She was 40-something to one, and that was a horse that was touted when we asked the trainers those questions. You get honest answers. They're not I know some trainers have reputations, John, that they love every one of their horses. But usually when you ask them for a push, you know, who's showing talent, they give you an honest assessment.
That's very true. And but that's a big part of, you know, listening to your show is kind of handicapping the trainers to know which ones. For instance, I could all the years I was standing in the mornings with Charlie Whittingham and clocking horses with him and so forth, and if he would happen to say something like, you know, that's a pretty good filly, that to me meant, well, this is like Hidden Light or something. I mean, you know, it was like, okay, I was like, oh, wow. Whereas, like, if Dwayne Lucas said, you know, that's a pretty good filly, then I'm thinking, well, you know, that must not be much of a filly, because you want Lucas to say, you know, she's really sensational or whatever, because, you know, they just talk kind of in different standards. So, like I say, it's kind of handicapping the individual as well. Interesting, too, of the 72 horses in my draft, I go through and I kind of just get a feel from the breeding standpoint of which sires are doing well. And so I started with Candy Ride, who has Game Winner as the number one overall pick, and he had three of the 72, Vekoma and Leo Frick, also drafted. Quality Road had three drafted, City of Light, Roadster, and Bellafina. Tappet had three drafted, Coliseum, Magic on Tap, and Chasing Yesterday. And Into Mischief had three, Maximus, Mischief, Audible, and Instagram. But the leader, kind of surprising to me, because those are all such big name sires, the leader with the most drafted, More Than Ready, Roy H, and Catholic Boy, Rushing Fall, and Uni. So More Than Ready, the leader in terms of how many horses were drafted out of the 72 yesterday with four.
I have said for ages, and as Scat Daddy was you know, emerging as a force, I've even when Scat Daddy was alive, it called More Than Ready Scat Daddy Light. It got the same kind of profile that, you know, gets different kinds of horses, and he's a tremendous value, and I'm not surprised to hear that, John.
Well, you know, in a way, where I really admire More Than Ready is usually at this stage of their career, because he's been at it a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually there's a little bit of a, you know, slowdown deal in terms of these sires. I mean, even the great ones eventually, you know, kind of slow down toward the end where they're not as prolific. And this More Than Ready just is, he's like firing as strong as he ever has, which mm-hmm. to me I find really a great compliment to him as a sire. I mean, because I'm like you, I've always respected him. One of the things I've admired is he can throw dirt horses, he can throw
yep.
sprinters, he can throw routers, he can throw turf horses, he can throw synthetic horses. I mean, you know, he can throw horses with speed, he can throw horses that come from off the pace. I mean, that to me is just really remarkable in his regard of that you get such a variety of quality runners yep. from him.
Yep, he was, and in fact, you mentioned the turf, and that, you know, he was one of the, I remember conversations years ago with Lauren Stitch, and, you know, Lauren had that moniker that she used to attach to stallions going to stud, the hidden turf sires, and she was way ahead of the curve before turf was as big as it is now and as big a part of the game as it's become. And even before, you know, this recent generation of stallions that are essentially turf stallions, you know, led by Kitten's Joy. And, you know, then from there, there's, you know, a lot of prominent ones, but, she used to call, and More Than Ready may have been the one that I remember catching my eye, and her, she either wrote about it in American Turf Monthly or talked about it on the air with me, the hidden turf sire, that, you know, even though they had made their bones on the main track, that when they got a chance in the shed, they were gonna click the boxes that would result in good turf horses. And, you know, it's really ushered in a, you know, we talk about it all the time now. I mean, it's good for the horse players. We love turf. It's good for the racetracks because you get full fields, and as long as the weather cooperates, it's great for everybody. Well, John, I hope you and Tracy have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Best wishes, and looking forward, you know, we'll see you obviously when we come into town, but we'll try to reprise another dinner when it comes to Los Al this year, when Starlit and Futurity.
Yeah, we had such a good one back in the day, and so yeah, that would be fantastic. And speaking of turf, I mean, how exciting about that news that came out yesterday that Enable's going to go for a third arc. I think
Absolutely.
That is just, you know, I'm already excited for that. I mean, I really am. I just
agreed.
Isn't that just, oh, wow. So
well, and somebody made a point. I'm not sure who it was. I saw a tweet from a, I can't remember if it was a North American or European pundit, but they said, you know, as great as her accomplishment was this year, that they made the point we probably didn't really see her at her best even.
Yeah,
as
how
a full,
how scary is that?
Right. That's it. I mean, and she's going to be a fully mature five. You know, all the horses mature at five. So she will be a, you know, a mare, and Gosden will have the opportunity to get the best out of her in this next season. John, we got the best out of our Thanksgiving break visits today, and I hope you enjoyed. I appreciate it.
Well, and happy birthday again, Steve.
Well, thank you, John, and we wish everybody the happiest of Thanksgivings, best of tomorrow and Thursday, and then right back for the big weekend preview, and of course Friday, you got terrific racing, including the Clark, etc. So we'll have a lot of fun on Friday. I hope you enjoyed Neil Kleinberg. I can't thank Neil enough. Andy Serling, good luck tomorrow. I'll have a pick six and pick five tries that I'll probably actually get written up today, tonight. All right? And if you're playing today, enjoy. Best of luck. Talk to you on Friday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.